880 AM, The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 1990s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 AM, The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Freed on Business, Rosh Hashanah edition. I'd like to wish all of our listeners a happy Rosh Hashanah. I'm here on the radio. I hope you're out there with your apples and honey. Remember, we've got our contest going on. It'll end at the end of the month, so you'll want to get in there. Go to Freed on Business's Facebook page and enter to win a free night at the Mayfair Hotel in Coconut Grove. You'll get the free use of a limo courtesy of Aventura Worldwide Transportation Services and a $50 food credit at the Spartico Restaurant in the Mayfair Hotel. Go to Jim Freed's Facebook page. That's facebook.com/freedonbusiness to enter to win. We've got over 1,000 Facebook page fans. Make sure you're one of them. We're going to start off with some listener emails. Matt and I are going to go crazy on some emails. Then we're going to have Hugo Perez, Managing Director of Data Corp. He'll be on with Laura Deneau of the American Heart Association. We'll be talking about American Heart Association. I'll bet you didn't realize that their logo was one of the top five logos as far as recognition in the country. We'll talk to Laura about what makes the Heart Association tick. Then we're going to go to our executive health and wellness session. Lolly Green is with her grandkids for Rosh Hashanah, but she did send an email, and we'll go over what her positive energy thought of the week is. Then we'll have Michael Kwan. Mike's going to talk about carbohydrates, to eat or not to eat. That is the question. And Michael talk about carbohydrates. Then we'll get Victor Franks down off the mountaintop, and he's going to make sure to talk about something that's a little bit offbeat, but then that's Dr. Franks. We're going to talk about a little preventative maintenance for your gallbladder. Okay, doesn't sound good, but we all know friends that have had a little problem down there, so Victor will tell us how to avoid that. Oh boy, he's coming down top from a mountain there just to talk about that. Then we're going to have Matt Gold. He's our professional chef for the Executive on the Go, and he's also our insurance agent. Matt's going to tell us this week how to prepare turkey because it's just not for the holidays. And then at the end, I'm going to rant about things that get under my skin. Oh, boy. Now, let's get started with some emails.
Now, where you been, baby? You've got mail.
Matt, you finally I'm let here. Barry, you let Barry well, White talk, man.
It's a first time for everything.
All right, let's what rock can I and tell roll. You?
Let's move on. You're right here man. We go.
All right.
All right, you know Paloma? She's in Miami. Actually, I know a Paloma. Her birthday was the other day. Happy birthday, Paloma.
I'll bet you this is her.
Maybe. Paloma says, I see the unemployment rate dropping. Is this a sign that the recovery's on the way?
Actually, Paloma, it's not. What it's a sign of is that people are giving up. They're throwing their hands up. The majority of the people that are causing the unemployment rate to drop are people that are simply not looking for work anymore. They've given up. It's not a good sign that the economy is seeing unemployment drop if that's the reason. If the economy saw unemployment dropping because lots of people were getting jobs, that would be a good thing. Lots of people giving up, bad thing. Matt.
Barry in Orlando. I love when we get these out from out of town, you know?
They all listen everywhere. They hear us on the internet. Thank you, Barry, for listening in Orlando.
What's the most important thing to get our economy going and keep it going?
Well, the most important thing is a well-rounded public education system. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that more and more money is being taken from the public schools, and I won't endorse or not endorse any particular public policy program, but I do think it's important that we divert as much of this new stimulus money, I'll call it what it is, to the public schools. And I'm not talking about rebuilding schools in areas that are decaying because nobody goes there. I'm talking about rebuilding high utilization schools. I'm talking about making sure that the specialty teachers are retained, not laid off because they have the highest salary in the district. I'm talking about making sure that we have the best college education possible in this state and that anybody can can access it. That's what's going to get our economy going, and that's what's going to keep our economy going. Higher education will bring careers. It's not just about jobs. It's about careers, because people with careers hire people for jobs. Give it to me again.
Emily in Fort Lauderdale. She said she was at the Marlins game last night, and she said it was sort of sweet and sorrow, or, you know, happy and sad and all that stuff. Do you think they'll do well in their new home?
I certainly hope they will. I was at the game yesterday, too. One of the things that I noticed was most of the people were wearing their special shirt. Everybody had their special outfit on. I had my shirt that I wore to opening day on. Yes, it's still operative, and it was a great day. But one of the things I noticed was that the stands were packed with people that got low-cost and free tickets. I'm sure that the place will be sold out next year. I can see it from my house. I can see it from my office. It looks great. Dynamite. Exciting. When you drive by on the street, you actually feel the electricity coming out of the place. It's going to be terrific. I certainly hope that the Marlins will continue on their attempt to build their business and spend money by putting it where their mouth is. It'll certainly be entertaining with Ozzie Guillen as our new coach. I certainly hope that the players will step up to the plate the way Ozzie already has. It's entertainment. I go to be entertained, but I'm not too entertained if they're losing, unless it was a day like yesterday. Emily, I think you were the lady that was sitting behind me at the game yesterday. If you are, thanks for writing in. Had a great time. Sorry you didn't get on TV, but I told you you'd get on the radio.
I love Ozzie Guillen. I think he's going to be great for the team.
I got Ozzie Guillen's jersey from batting practice from the World Series year, and it's up on my wall, autographed by him. The
awesome
dude doesn't even know it yet.
Well, you'll let him know.
Anyway, I will.
Steve from Tampa writes in, I'm drowning under credit card debt. What should I do?
You should come up for air, Steve. There's probably three different alternatives, and though I'm not a lawyer, I recommend that you talk to one or make sure that your assets are protected if you're going to do something with the credit card debt or the rest of your unsecured debt. And it's not just individuals. Businesses have this problem, too, and I've just become aware of it because we've got a new sponsor coming on the show next week, or actually 2 weeks from now, True North Financial. True North will help you with your unsecured debt. We'll talk more about it when they come on the show, so keep listening, but they're a top-level firm, and they will make sure you get taken care of. Matt.
Don in Naples. I'm planning to build a new apartment project down in Florida. I need an equity partner. Can you help?
Oh, yeah. We're equity investors for new to-be-built garden-style apartments. We're not typically going to be your investor if you want to build 500 units in the middle of Brickell Avenue in a high-rise configuration that's going to take two market cycles to lease up. But if you're looking to build garden apartments in a place where we think there's market demand, we're interested in being your partner. So give me a call at 305-854-5000, extension
222.
Thank you, Matt. Got another question?
Yes, Kurt from South Miami writes in. He says he saw some reports that says new apartment projects are actually planned for the Brickell area. Are they kidding?
Well, they're not kidding. They're putting their money where their mouth is. I just gave the last guy my personal impression about what I think. I think that I'd be scared to put my money at risk on another high-rise apartment building in the Brickell area unless I was the first one out of the ground. And there is a race on. The gun has gone off. They are looking, and they are getting ready to build more apartments on Brickell. And we'll talk about this a little later because I know some of the questions Matt has coming up. It will be interesting to see what happens on Brickell. Do we need more apartments? I think we do. How they come out, how big the projects are, where they are, it'll be interesting to see. Are we in for another spike in apartment building and then another low point? Not sure. Maybe. Not investing there, though. What do you got?
Steven Weston. He's saying he hears that all these companies have lots of cash. They're hoarding cash. They're sitting on piles of it. He wants to know, when are they going to start spending it?
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues here. People are afraid in their small business to start hiring people. There's the threshold of the employee numbers of Obamacare. There's the new double hit on the unemployment tax recapture that they're trying to recapture some of the extra unemployment benefits that they gave. Now people are getting double taxed on that. The increase in health insurance costs on a year-to-year basis is also killing employers. Their employer benefit cost is continuing to increase. So the cost of being an employer continues to go up, and that is one of the reasons why we're not seeing job growth. They're just scared to add any employees because right now, any employee is a high-cost employee. It's horrible, but we have to get past this. We have to start hiring people. Get off the sidelines, corporations. Spend that money, not just on mergers and acquisitions, but on butts and chairs.
Lola in Miami Beach.
I love that name. Hey, Lola, how you doing?
Isn't that a song, Lola?
Yeah.
All right. I read that
she came to Miami FLA.
Nice.
I'm not going to go any farther.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to take off.
No, I'm not going to do the whole Lola thing. It's not appropriate for a family show.
I read that the Americas will soon outpace the Middle East in petroleum product production. Hallelujah.
And a fact, because with the shale reserves up in the northern part of the United States, the oil reserves that they're finding in the Deepwater Gulf wells, and all the other strategic reserves that they found off of Latin America, I'm not even talking about Cuba because we know that that's not free oil and we don't want to use oil that's not free. But the fact, I almost did it.
Don't say it, baby.
I didn't.
He held back.
I held back. One of the things that we have to keep in mind... is that we are going to have energy independence sooner or later, sooner rather than later. And so we need to get the U.S.-based energy supply to the market. We need energy efficiency, but not at the cost of the groundwater. I am concerned about the way that they do the fracking and the way that you can have explosive groundwater from that.
Is this the stuff like in North and South Dakota they're trying to dig there?
Yeah, and in Edmonton, Alberta, and places like that. But let's move on.
Mario from Wilton Marin. I can't even speak.
It's Wilton. Mario from Milton Manors.
See, I told you, it's tough. So I didn't say that three times fast.
No, we don't do
Wilton
that
Wilton Manors.
Show.
Is it true that failure is good for us?
Well, Cam Cameron actually thought so. He said we should all fail falling forward or something like that. But yes, failure is good because if you're not failing, you're not pressing the envelope on what you're trying to accomplish. You're not trying new things. We're not all going to be right every single time. But if you don't try and risk failure, you won't achieve the extra special results that come from trying, the extraordinary attempt. You always must try to push the envelope. And if you push the envelope, you may fail. But if you don't push the envelope, I think you are a failure.
Is that like Dwayne Wade falling 7, getting up 8? Same type of thing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Buzz in Plantation writes in, what graph shape do you think the recovery will display? You know, is it a U? Is it an L? Is it a V?
Actually, I believe that the graph shape that the recovery will show will be the bottom of Charlie Brown's shirt. Up and down, 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 up and down. I don't think you can predict what the real shape of the recovery is going to be because there are so many events that we cannot foresee that have been holding us back. They had the term black swan for a very unusual event. It seems like every month we have a black swan. So I can't project what's going to happen, except that it will be a slow, steady, gradual, fitful recovery. I guess that I should be the head of the Fed. I know as much as Ben Bernanke does.
Well, you get my vote.
Okay, excellent. What's next? Who you
Penny
got
from Boca. Hey, Penny. How are you, Penny?
Yeah, she didn't write in last week.
That's all right. She's probably on vacation or something. Not that I would know, but... she says, I know Matt's no turkey. I guess she's talking about what I'm going to be, you know.
Well, she read the
cooking
flyer
a little later.
She must,
yeah.
Well, now she's down to 1,800 people. We know she gets the flyer.
There you go. Well, anyway, she's looking forward to what I'm going to talk about later in the show. We're going to talk about turkey and how it's just not for Thanksgiving or the holidays anymore.
You know what I'm having tonight for dinner?
Tell me.
Turkey.
Nice.
I'm excited.
Is Viv cooking it?
Viv is cooking it.
I'm sure it's going to be good.
It's going to be delicious. What's All next? Right.
We got Sam in Atlanta. Ooh, we got Atlanta.
Yeah, we got listeners up in Atlanta. All right. Thank you for listening. Sam, go Gators. We're going to beat them Georgia Bulldogs.
Sam says, I want to step out and take a risk, start my own business, but I'm afraid of all those government regulations and taxes. They're going to hold me back. What do you think?
I think he's right. We talked about this a little earlier, all the government regulation, the bureaucracy, the blue tape. You know, I forget, I think it's 30 people. Once you get more than 30 employees, you got to make sure you get that health insurance thing going with Obamacare. There's a lot of negative government regulation that's holding us back. Not that it's all bad, but we have to make sure that we make it easier for our small business people to succeed. I'm going to try to get some people that are politicos to come in here and talk about that. We'll talk around book and stuff like that about that. Give me another one.
It looks like Stanley in Palm Beach. Anyway, he thinks that the new norm is the old norm. He says when he was growing up, his mom talked about that when she was a child and talked about the Depression, there was, you know, this thing about holding on to the money. Now he sort of feels the same way.
Well, you know, that's not really good for the recovery. But a lot of people continue to do that. And if you continue to hold on to your money, it's not going to be good for the recovery. Yes, we should save. Yes, we should be prudent. But no, we should not be Scrooge. You have to go out and you have to spend money because we have a consumer-based economy. And when you go out and spend money, it cycles through the economy. You go out, you buy dinner, you pay the waitress a tip. She has money to go out and spend on, she tips another waitress. You start paying it forward.
And you pay for the parking and you pay the valet guy. You got to do all these things. You can't be afraid is what you're saying.
No, you have to have no fear. Even though it's scary, you have to have no fear. Because if, as we said earlier, unless you go out on the edge and fail and have the opportunity to fail, you can't succeed without trying. And if you try, sometimes you're going to fail.
Seth in Miami, he's looking to get a loan on a commercial property. Is it better to go to the bank or, you know, one of the conduits, or is it better to talk to you?
Well, first of all, you should talk to me because, thank you, Matt. You can give me a call at 305-854-5000, extension 222, because it depends. Sometimes it would be better for a conduit. For some people, having a loan that would be boxed up and securitized into a large security, sometimes that's better for them. Other people want the convenience of having somebody to talk to in case there's something that goes wrong. In that case, perhaps a bank would be better. Maybe you want non-recourse conduit. Maybe you want more dollars. Maybe a bank loan in that case. So it's all across the board. Who you should talk to, it really depends. And the only thing that's for certain is that it's going to be much more difficult, much more problematic. You have to prepare yourself for everything short of a colonoscopy. And then when you get to the closing table, the terms may still change. All those reasons are why you need to make sure you're working with a professional who can help you survey the market and can help you create transactional energy between the different parties that want to make your loan. And if that's the situation that you want to be in, then give me a call at 305-854-5000, extension 222, or email me at jim@freedombusiness.com, and I can help you with your commercial real estate loan. Matt.
Dave in Boca. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants. What kind of real estate deals do you really like to do?
Oh, this must be a guy who hears me dumping on all of the crazy things. But the things that I like to do are really things that are related to the sponsor. The most important thing to me in a real estate transaction isn't location, location, or location. It's sponsorship, sponsorship, sponsorship. I want to make sure I know that the person that I'm going to be investing in, or the person that I'm going to be introducing my investors to, or the lenders I know to, is a professional. That if they have legacy issues, that they stand up and talk to me about them. That if they're out there and they're seeking to get a commercial mortgage, then we can help them. And so it's not really about a particular product type. It's about the sponsor. Now, are there product types I like? The answer is yes. I think that right now, and we talked about this a little earlier in the show, the space to be in is new garden apartments. The unfortunate thing is there are very few sites out there that make economic sense and even fewer sponsors that make sense. We're out there looking for the sponsors and the sites that make sense. We're finding them, we're capitalizing them, and we're helping Florida come back by creating good, solid jobs. So I like that. I like hospitality. Again, we're developing and redeveloping hospitality. We're bringing good, solid jobs to Florida in a sector that needs them. Matt, one more question.
We got time for one more.
One more.
Maria writes in from Miami Beach. She wants to know, is it true that all the condos have been bought up by, you know, foreign investors?
Well, I don't know if they're foreign or not, but I do know that it's been recently reported by condo vultures and other people that track the market that, yes, the majority of condos that have been bought east of I-95 recently are not homestead exempt. That means that they were bought by investors. Now, what is the long-term implication for this? The long-term implication for this is you got people here that aren't living here that own these units. Maybe they plan to retire here. I'm not sure. But it was a great way to get high-rise multifamily built. The unfortunate thing was the taxpayers took it in the neck getting that built. We'll be right back after this short message with the DataCorp Spotlight. We're going to be spotlighting the American Heart Association with our special guest, Laura Deneau. I knew I would get that wrong, but I'm going to try to get it right in the next segment, Laura. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Jim Fried. Need commercial real estate financing? How about some equity to get your project capitalized? I can help. Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222. Apartments, retail, hotel, office, and healthcare. We can help you get capitalized or financed. Need to restructure capital stack? Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we're back with the Rosh Hashanah edition of Fried on Business. We've got the DataCorp spotlight on. Hugo, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
Why don't you introduce our guest since I butchered her name twice so far?
Absolutely. I'll give it a try with my Spanish accent. Laura Deneau with the American Heart Association. She's a Florida native, went to FIU, but she's rooting for the Gators this weekend in addition to the big FIU Panthers. So, Laura, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, Jim, let me start with a question for Laura. So, the American Heart Association, obviously the brand is well established across the country. Where does it stand across in comparison to some of the other brands like Coca-Cola and McDonald's?
Well, we actually have the fourth most recognized brand in the country, so everybody knows about the Heart and Torch. And a lot of people recognize our Heart Check Mark, which is on a lot of our food labels and food products that we've approved.
Very good. So, big thing about the American Heart Association, I was all of us who are highly stressed, like myself, small business owner. Tell us what most people don't know about the American Heart Association.
Well, the American Heart Association's mission is to build healthier lives free of cardiovascular disease and stroke. And one of the ways, one of the many ways that we're able to touch, especially businesses, is through our My Heart, My Life, formerly known as our START program, which is all about wellness and getting employees to be not only more active, but also eating healthier in the workplace, because we know that it reduces absenteeism. It, you know, reduces health care costs and people calling out sick. So, you know, that is really our mission, is to attract businesses to participate and support the American Heart Association.
Yeah, I know that for me, the one thing that I've done to take care of my heart, besides eating healthfully and taking deep water omega-5 fish oil pills, is I've gotten the nuclear stress test. When I went in and took my stress test, I think the doctor said I was one of the very few people under 50 that had taken the test. Is that something you guys recommend, is making sure somebody understands what's going on inside their chest?
Most definitely. You know, when people go to their doctors and their doctors tell them that they may or may not have some type of heart condition or high blood pressure, high cholesterol, that's what we're seeing. Most of the time, you know, in when people go to see the doctor, it's important for them to know their numbers, for them to get checked, and just know that if they do have high blood pressure, they take care of it.
Now, I know when I was a young whippersnapper and I was single, that the American Heart Association events were some of the best social events to participate in, and that it was a great place to meet people. Now, you've got an event coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So we have our Palm Beach Heart Walk, which is actually taking place this weekend, this Saturday morning, at the Meyer Amphitheater in downtown West Palm Beach. And the festivities start at 8. And then we have our Miami-Dade Heart Walk, which is going to be Saturday, October 29th at Florida International University.
Well, now that's cool. And I was just giving it the old soft sell there. But I can tell you for a fact that you can meet some outstanding people from the community at these types of events. And if you're interested in meeting like-minded individuals who care about their community and want to do good things and are also active adults, these are fabulous events to go to. Now, where does somebody get additional information if they want to get information on this event, Laura?
Well, if they'd like to learn more about the Miami-Dade Heart Walk, they can actually go to our website. It's www.miamidadeheartwalk.org. And if they want to find more information about any of our other events or nutrition labels, how to read nutrition labels, or any other healthy, heart healthy facts, they can go to our main website, which is www.heart.org.
Now, I know Hugo's got another question for you.
I certainly do. I've got a Mythbuster question for you.
Mythbuster. Oh, I love that. Woo!
So the reality is that most people say that the heart disease only impact men. How true or false is that?
Actually, that's very false. Most people think that heart disease is a men's disease, but it is actually a women's disease as well. It's number one killer of all Americans. Stroke is number three killer of all Americans. And we both heart disease and stroke beat out cancer and other health related diseases. So a lot of, especially women, think that breast cancer is their number one killer, but it's in fact heart disease. And we have a very large campaign about, it's called Go Red for Women. We actually have a Red Dress fashion show coming up on October 19th at the Satay Hotel. And it's all about educating women that heart disease is their number one killer as well.
Now, I have another question. Laura, sorry we're playing ping pong on you here. Laura's sitting in between me and Hugo, and she's looking like she's at a tennis match right here. Laura, if somebody wants to get involved, we've talked about how they do that, and we've talked about the health impacts, and we've talked a little bit about women and women's health, but I know that you, in particular, have taken the tenets of the American Heart Association, I'll just have to say it, to heart, and really done something where you can be an example to other people in our community. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that was a big roundabout way to say, hey, you're famous. Why?
Well, yes. Actually, I was very fortunate to be picked out of over 100,000 people to be on NBC's The Biggest Loser, and was actually on season 7 with my partner, Tara. We were the green team.
Okay, but you're a winner.
Oh, I am, of course, a winner. But all I right. always like to say, you know, I'm the biggest loser, too.
Now, Hugo, you've got another question for our winner over here, don't you?
Absolutely, Laura. So another Mythbuster question.
Sure.
So children and their physical activity, impact on exams and tests and how they do well in school. True or false? How does heart disease or exercise and activity impact them to do well or not well? None at all, or
no, actually, so? We have found that if kids in schools participate in physical activity, specifically physical education class, we found that their test scores and their grades actually are improved. And one of our main focuses right now, especially with our advocacy department, and people can learn more about our advocacy at yourthecure.org. One of our major, points right now is that we're trying to tell parents that they should not eliminate PE, because parents can now waive PE from their kids' curriculum. So we feel very strongly that kids need physical education in schools. We're finding that one in every three children are obese or overweight. And if kids are opting out from taking PE in school, well, you know, we might be heading down that unhealthy road for our future leaders.
Well, I got to just say, if you're a parent and you're not letting your kid take PE, then you'll get what you deserve when they come home and run around the house like that. Now, we've talked a little bit about how you've got a program that's designed for small businesses to help them be involved with the American Heart Association. We're all about small businesses here. Hugo is always saying he's a small business, but you're a pretty big business too, Hugo. Laura, what's the Start Fit Friendly program and how does that work?
Well, the Start Fit Friendly program is basically a recognition program that the American Heart Association recognizes companies, large or small, that have any type of wellness initiatives in the workplace for their employees. So whether it's on-site walking paths, a gym, they, you know, encourage people not to smoke on campus, or they may give wellness points or discounts or credit towards their paychecks or anything else that would encourage them to walk and eat healthy at work.
Any business, any building, any shopping center in America, listen to this. Get the cigarette smokers away from the front door, please. Ugh, I hate that crap.
And actually, the American Heart Association was the one, we are the organization that advocated for airplanes, restaurants, you know, any major business to eliminate smoking in the workplace or at a public place.
Right. So, Laura, so you brought up a good point now. Tell us about legislation. So Tallahassee, how do they view the American Heart Association in terms of politics? Is it easy to campaign and get them to listen? And, for example, there's a Women's Act, right,
sure,
that you're working on. Tell us more about that.
Well, the way that your listeners can actually take an active role in supporting the American Heart Association is, you know, we're only a very small organization as far as staff, so we need our volunteers to support the organization. YourTheCure.org is where people can sign up, and they get weekly emails from the American Heart Association giving them a link where they can take action and send an email to their local state representative based on what the advocacy issues are at the time. For example, the PE waivers is one of them, making sure that we're advocating that kids have open and public areas in the parks to play in and in schools and things like that. So that is something that, you know, the legislation right now is really paying attention, not just to American Heart Association staff, but to the public.
Very good. If someone wanted to reach you, say a business, they wanted to learn more about how they can work together with you as one, how would they reach you?
Well, in Miami, they can reach our local office. The American Heart Association phone number is 305-631-4791. And our email address is, I'll say, miamiheartwalk@heart.org.
Now, we only have 1 minute left, so I wanted to really talk about what your mission statement is and what that really means. What's the bottom line, Laura?
You know, really the bottom line is that we're trying to make an impact on Americans, and we have this huge goal, and we are only able to reach this goal if people know their numbers, they take care of themselves. Our organization's 2020 impact goal is to improve the cardiovascular health of all Americans by 20% while reducing deaths from cardiovascular diseases and stroke by 20%.
It sounds like something that's really important. I think a lot of us know people that have had strokes, that have had lives impacted by heart disease. It's extraordinarily important to get the message out. I want to thank Laura Deneau. I got it right. Okay. And of course, always Hugo Perez for.
No, thank you very much, and I just want to say that I have everyone pray for the Gators this Saturday.
Oh, come on. We're praying. If you're Jewish, you're out there praying for the new year, okay? I don't think that we're going to mix up our metaphors out there, but the Gators are going to do okay. Hugo, as always, I want to thank you for your philanthropy and bringing the American Heart Association on for the DataCorp Spotlight. Hugo, real quick, if people want information about DataCorp, where do they get that?
Certainly, www.data-corporation.com. That's corporation spelled out, .com. And I'm at 305-594-6933.
Hugo Perez, small businessman, entrepreneur, philanthropist. Thank you so much. Laura Deneau of the American Heart Association, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back after this with our segment on executive wellness. Hey, this is Jim Fried. Make sure you join me Friday, October 7th. That's next Friday at the ULI and NAIOP Joint Program and Trade Show. It'll be hosted at the Signature Grand Meeting Space at 6900 West State Road 84 in Davie. It's going to cost $75 per person. It's from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you're in real estate, you need to be there. I'll be there, and so will the leaders of our industry. Eric Swanson, Terry Blanca, Neeson Kasdan, Greg Robbins, the list goes on and on. So make sure you attend the ULI and NAIOP joint venture program. For registration, you can go online to seflorida.uli.org or contact NAIOP at 954-990-4000. 5116, or you can email NAIOP at NAIOP.info at NAIOPSFL.org.
Buying insurance has become as easy as point and click. However, knowing what is right for you individually or for your company can be extremely challenging. Matthew Gold and Corporate Benefit Planning are here to help. Matthew's team has over 30 years of insurance experience. Matthew and his team of experts will be glad to review what your needs are, what your status is, or just answer any questions you may have. Arrange a free evaluation now. You'll be glad you did. Call Matthew Gold at Corporate Benefit Planning at 305-215-7881 now for your free evaluation.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back. And we're back here on Rosh Hashanah. And Lolly Green is up at her grandkids' house making kugel and matzo balls and bouncing them on their knee and pinching everybody's cheeks. But she did send her wishes as an email. So today we're going to talk about how you can ease your stress at work. It's very hard to hear when people are upset on a day-to-day basis. It's hard to go through stress, and one cannot have a therapist in one's briefcase to use as needed. So we all have to be our own therapist, cheerleader, or whatever you want to call it. You have to dig deep into your bag of ideas and put them to work for us. It's hard if we're not at our best to begin with. If a person's angry, hungry, or tired, things look bleak. So make sure that you eat your meals on time or in a peaceful place, and you get adequate sleep. Use music to soothe your stress. Make it soft and smooth. Focus on things that can give you positive feedback, positive vibrations, and learn to ignore whatever's negative out there. Take small 3x5 cards and put a single word on each one. Something that brings to mind a pleasant event, person, or idea. Keep these cards in your wallet or near your mirror or near your phone at the office. Use it as needed to lift you in a weak moment. Colors can help. Wear ties or dresses that are upbeat or socks that are whimsical. Unless, of course, those are banned from your office. Do whatever you can to change the tone around you. And remind yourself that all the important and good things are already accomplished. Sometimes you have to forget the person that everybody wants you to be, and realize the great person you already are. Thank you, Lolly Green, for sending that email in. We really appreciate it. We'll look forward to having you back on the show, unless, of course, you'll still be in Atlanta for Yom Kippur. If not, then we'll look for your next email. Now we've got Mike Kwan. Mike's on. Hey, Mike, what's happening, bud?
Hey, Jim. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling positive after that upbeat thing from Lolly.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad. And thank you for the good wishes. I cut you off there, bud.
Yeah, I was going to say happy Rosh Hashanah. And
thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, we're here talking about carbohydrates, what to eat and what not to eat.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that, Mike, because I know that whenever we go to work out, I've eaten a couple of hours ago, but it seems like I'm always crashing.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people believe in the, you know, the whole new fad with, you know, the low carb, high protein diets like the, you know, South Beach diet, Atkins diet. It kind of tends to portray carbohydrates as the bad guy, and I think that's it's a bad portrayal of a pretty important nutrient that your body needs.
Well, if I'm not eating enough carbohydrates, what am I burning?
Well, what happens basically when you cut out all carbohydrates, your body tends to burn off the stores in your body that's already been built up, and what happens there is, after a while, your body just tends to lose the fluids, lose water, and that's basically whenever you start those diets the first few weeks, that's basically what you're losing is water weight. And once you introduce carbohydrates back into your body, the water weight tends to come back.
Okay, so then we found that carbohydrates are really good for you if they're used correctly.
Right.
So there's certain things, I'm sure, combinations of food that I can eat, things like that, that help me efficiently burn carbohydrates. What's your advice on carbohydrates, Mike?
Well, I would always say just eat the good carbohydrates, and there are certain carbohydrates out there that, you know, you should definitely stick with, and whole grains, green leafy vegetables, anything like that.
Green leafy vegetables are carbohydrates?
Yes. Any basically anything that you eat has carbohydrates in it. in a sense. Vegetables, fruits, those all have carbohydrates in it. So, I mean, if you're saying that you're going to cut out all carbohydrates, then you're basically saying you're going to cut out vegetables. But mostly, I think people are basically talking about breads, white breads and flour.
I gotta have a bun if I have a hot dog.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you can't just cut it out altogether, because it, you know, once you do cut it out, you do tend to go into a state of ketosis, which it's a kind of a last resort for your body to maintain your major organs like your brain, your nervous system, skin tissue, and
sounds like the body's freaking out. And at the same time, it sounds like that's what all the Atkin guys are striving for. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a little bit oxymoronic.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people, they cut out the carbs, and some of the major things that tend to happen to you once you start to cut out the carbs is you have bad breath, you get headaches, you're feeling fatigued. And I've seen this in a couple of people that I've worked out with, and the way they.
I was
cut
wondering
out
why those people had the bad breath. Now maybe I understand.
Well, there
why.
You go. That, you know, they don't eat carbs.
Yeah, well, it's either that or they smell like pizza. One or the other. I give that one to Matt. That was Matt's good joke. I didn't mean to stop you, Mike. Keep rolling, bro.
But you know, like another good scientific fact for, you know, carbs, cutting out carbs, is that it doesn't help you lose fat. All it does really help you lose the water weight. And what you're looking to do when you're dieting, yada yada yada, is to lose fat. And there is a big difference between, you know, fat loss versus weight loss. And when you're cutting out the carbs, you're basically just losing water weight, which will come back eventually. So you have to really fix the problem at the root cause and just make a gradual lifestyle change with, you know, not cutting out our carbs, but just switching up to good carbs like whole wheat and, you know, good vegetables. And that way you'll still at least maintain your system. Body system.
Well, you know, all I could say is, Mike, is that I know that we have to do something about my nutrition before you work me out. Anybody wants to go see what I look like when Mike works me out, you can look up our Facebook page and you see me absolutely passing out with Mike working me out. I know Mike is not killing me, so there's got to be something going on there that we can do together. Mike, if people are interested in learning more about your health and fitness training programs or to talk to you, get involved with health and fitness, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. They can give me a call directly at 972-978-7846 or visit me at my website, and it's www.siphonfitness.com, and that's siphon spelled with a Y, S-Y-P-H-O-N. From there, you can just go ahead and like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and just kind of keep up with some of the stuff that I post on my blog.
That's very cool. What's your one last thought on carbohydrates? Is that they're not just bad for everybody?
They're not bad for everybody, and don't be scared of it.
That's great.
Moderate, you know, just like everything else, just keep it in moderation, and that's really all you have to keep in mind.
All right, Mike Kwan, our expert on carbohydrates today, physical fitness. If you want to talk to Mike, make sure to like him on Facebook. Go to siphonfitness.com. That's siphon with a Y. Mike, as always, thanks, and we'll look forward to your health tips next week as we prepare for Yom Kippur.
All right,
and now we've got Off the Mountaintop coming in from Jackson Hole area up in Montana is Dr. Victor Franks. Can you hear me, Dr. Franks?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Excellent. Tell me about my gallbladder, dude.
Well, I've decided to change it up, Jim. That's next week.
Okay.
Just because I just broke a five-day fast this noon. So for 5 days, I haven't eaten. And I want to talk about that.
Okay.
What I've been up to.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what you've been doing for the last 5 days and why.
Why, first of all, it's more importantly, why in the world would I go for 5 days and not eat?
Well, I know, because you're nuts.
No, besides that, the thing is, first of all, it's the end of summer up here anyway, you know, in Miami, it's the end of sweltering heat pretty soon, I hope. But what it is, it's good to just empty out occasionally, and it's not like I've been starving myself, because I've been juice fasting, and that's a big difference from just drinking water, which I've done on several occasions in the past, 7-day water fast. And you want to talk about being miserable, that's a pretty good way to do it. But I found that, and I haven't done a juice fast in so long, I forgot how easy it was, because it's similar to that green drink I have you drink. I'm doing fresh juices of all manner, especially fruit in the morning because the fruit is cleansing. And in the afternoon and evening, I'll do vegetable juices because they're builders of the body. So there's so much nutrition, and all you need is a cheap juicer, like an $89 juicer. You can get a really fancy one, but a cheap one will do the job. And you put practically everything you can get your hands on in there and juice it, and it's amazing how it wasn't hard. I mean, I felt like I could have gone for 10 days, but I'm invited to a barbecue on Saturday night, so I can't just... The thing is, there's an old adage, Jim, and it's called, anybody can fast, but it takes a wise man to break a fast.
Yeah, well, I became aware of that when you and I started, I'd say probably in January when I first started to lose weight, and I went on a, I don't want to say a fast, I went more on a liquid diet for, I'd say, probably 2 or 3 days, and then we slowly added some protein and then eventually some carbohydrates to my diet. That's sort of what you're talking about, right?
Right, and, you know, you're speaking about carbohydrates with Mike. Well, I've been getting all kinds of carbohydrates in me because I've been, you know, when you take the fiber out of you, you're still getting the nutrition, you're just leaving the fiber behind. Of course, the fiber is good, but it's really good to empty out like that, and your body uses it so quickly, 20 minutes, and it's in your bloodstream.
Yeah,
so
well...
I've been busy. I've been building an office. I've been hiking. I've been rafting. I've been doing all kinds of things, and my energy level has been up. It's usually when you fast, you expect to be miserable, you expect to be weak, and you're supposed to take extra naps and all that. Well, I haven't gone through that at all. It's been really simple.
Well, you know, I know that when I've gone through fast-like experiences with you, I think I fast just about every morning then listening to you because I take that green drink and don't eat solid food till lunchtime.
And it is a good thing. You don't have to always have something, you know, something in your gut always digesting. And what happens is your body, you know how you get tired after a big meal. Well, your body has to work so hard to digest food. So when you do empty out for a while, it's you know, it's a physically cleansing experience, of course, but it mentally, it makes you much sharper, and even things sound louder, everything, your senses are sharpened, and we won't even talk about the spiritual aspects of it, but it's good overall for what it does for you. And what I was doing in conjunction with the juice fast, which is, you know, something fairly easy that anybody can do, but this is something even easier. You can do what's called the master cleanse, so you don't even have to stop eating for the master cleanse. And I was, like I said, I was doing that at the same time. And all it is you juice fresh lemons and fresh limes. I like to do them both together. And you make a big pitcher of lemon and lime, and then you put maple syrup in there to give it, you know, and that's your carbos to keep you going, and then you put cayenne pepper in there. So that's all it is cayenne, lemon and lime, and maple syrup, and you make up a whole jug of it. And I'll tell you, you take a 4-ounce glass of that in the morning, it wakes you up more than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like it would. That cayenne pepper sure would get you rocking and rolling.
It does. It just jolts you awake. It's very impressive, so it's a real pick-me-up. So I was drinking that through the course of the day along with the juices, and I got to tell you, Jim, I didn't even feel like I was fasting. It was simple. I just forgot about food.
Now, do you throw a mint leaf in there? I know you got all excited one time when you had that limeade at my house with the mint in there.
I didn't, but I should have.
I'm telling you, listen.
I have a whole patch of mint right out back. And another thing,
you grow everything out there, don't you?
I got everything. My whole garden, it's a cornucopia. And that's the other beauty of doing it right now, Jim, because in the grocery stores, I mean, it's the end of the summer season, so everything's available. There's all these root crops, and the basis for my juice fasting has been carrot and celery and beets. And then you take a chunk of ginger and you throw it in there, you actually get body rushes from that. It's like, woof.
All right, Victor.
Very cleansing. And one other thing before we head out, you have to understand that your body's getting rid of all these toxins, so you have to help it out. So it helps to do an herbal cleanse or herbal detoxing teas, but also last night I went down to my wood-burning sauna and sweated my brains out. And also you can buy these vegetable brushes. They're dry vegetable brushes. You can buy them at a health food store. and you scrape your skin with these. They look like a regular back brush, and you scrape your skin always toward your heart, and it stimulates your lymphatic system and also gets all the toxins to come out sooner. And also you can scrape your tongue with a spoon because, you know, you talked about bad breath in the previous segment, and a lot of stuff will end. That's why your tongue always says you have a nasty breath in the morning. You always detox while you sleep. Everybody does. So if you scrape your tongue in the morning, you'll have a really sweet breath and get rid of extra toxins that way. So there you go.
All right, Dr. Franks, thanks for coming down from the mountain to telling us about the purification and detox. I really appreciate it. And I think that might have gone better next week right before Yom Kippur, but we'll do the discussion.
I'm doing it ahead of time.
You're all right, man. You're getting us prepared. You're getting us prepared. Dr. Franks, as always, thanks for coming on the show. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
www.aquabliss.net or askdrfranks.com. And my number is 305-975-8748.
Dr. Victor Franks, PhD, naturopathic practitioner, thank you so much for coming down off the mountain. We'll look forward to our segment and session with you next week. Right now, we've got Matt Gold coming up, and Matt is going to tell us that turkey is not just for the holidays. Matt, give me a little bit of heads up on this, man.
Oh, man. First of all, who doesn't love turkey?
I love turkey.
Everybody. You're having turkey tonight?
I'm having turkey tonight. Vivian turkeyed me up tonight.
That's beautiful. Well, listen, you know, people think of turkey. People think of Thanksgiving. That's usually the first thing that comes to mind. And when they think about Thanksgiving, they think about whoever's doing the true cooking that night or that day is cooking all day long.
And sweating.
Well, whatever you want to say. But the point is, they're cooking all day long, and
yes,
that bird takes 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it
is. Unless
you
put it
crazy
in one of them redneck deep fryer things.
Well, then it's only 50 minutes, and it's actually quite tasty. I don't know if you ever tried that. It's very good. I've done it. I'm telling you, it's really good.
I know you've done just about everything, Matt.
And, well, there you go. Anyway, when we're talking about roast turkey that you can have during the week, during your busy, hectic schedule, I'm telling you, all you have to do is go to your favorite supermarket, pick up a turkey breast. Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, biased one way or the breast man, the leg man, whatever you want to call it.
No, I love the breast. My mom cooks it just the breast because it's physically easier to manipulate.
Much easier to work with. And, you know, you can buy it out there in the stores. They sell them in all different sizes. I've seen them, you know, as small as 2.5 pounds. I've seen them as large as 7 pounds.
7 pound breast.
Seven
I like
pound
that.
Breast.
I love that.
Breast, but look, the bottom line is, you got to look at it this way. If there's only two or three of you, you know, at home, you're going to do like a 3 pound breast. And 3 pounds is so simple to make. All you got to do is get your favorite roasting pan. I line it with aluminum foil because I like the cleanup to be easy. I take the breast room temperature. Like we talked about with the steaks, remember a couple weeks ago? We don't want to take it straight from the fridge right into the oven. You want to preheat your oven 350 degrees. You take out your breast, make sure it's been out for a good 45 minutes just on the counter, and then you just put a little bit of spices, seasoning on the breast.
I rub the spices in real good into the breast.
If that makes you happy, by all means, you should do that.
Excellent.
And I'm a big fan of kosher salt. I like to use a little kosher salt. I like to use a little onion powder, garlic powder, and I like a little bit of paprika.
Sounds like you're getting rough with your breast.
Well, I just enjoy what I enjoy, so let's leave it at that.
Okay.
You then take it, you put it on that roasting pan, you put it in the oven. I'm telling you, for a 3 pound bird, it shouldn't take much more than 45 minutes.
So you don't have to slave to have the perfect dinner.
It's simple. You put it in there, you go 45 minutes, simple. You take it out and you start, you remember we talked about with the steaks too. You don't cut it right away. You got to let it rest. Let it rest a good 10 minutes covered with another piece of aluminum foil. You don't have to tightly cover it, just loosely cover it, you know? And then when you're ready, you're ready to slice it, and you have fantastic turkey during the, you know, any time. And, of course, if you have leftovers, then you got great, fantastic sandwiches.
And you can make a club sandwich.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
I'm telling you, turkey, it's not just for the holidays. You could do it any time. And, by the way, the one point that I didn't make here is that if your roasting pan, you know, in your roasting pan, you could easily throw in some, you know, some other vegetables. You know, you could throw in cubes of sweet potato or carrots or even white potato, whatever you want. So, look, in the same 45 minutes, it'll be done.
It sounds delicious. I can't wait for my wife to do it. Now it's I'd like to thank all my sponsors and listeners. I'd like to make sure that you all go to our Facebook page and like our show, and make sure you tell your friends to like our show. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Always look for us at this time on 880 AM. We're rebroadcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but this is my time to talk right now. And what I'd like to do is talk about the fact that I've been in synagogue all day long thinking about the new year coming up. And these are the things that are important to me. I want people to start getting along. You know, the biggest problem we have in America is that people don't get along. You've got Congress. Now you've got the Washington Monument fractured, not getting along with itself. It's so indicative of what's been going on in Washington. We need to get the people in Washington together. We need them talking. We need them focused. We need them to work together. My goodness, Congress, can't you just be in the right frame of mind? And, well, by the way, how about the people on the road? My goal next year is to continue to be a positive person on the road. If the guy's that crazy and he has to get in front, I'm going to let him get in front. Go ahead. You're in that kind of hurry. Go ahead. We'll all live longer. It'll be better for all of us. Mike Quam won't have to work me out to relax. He'll be able to work me out to have energy. Victor won't have to give me his special medications and special potions to calm me down, because I won't have to drive myself crazy by being cut off on the road by the people who are not paying attention to everybody else. Hey, if we can all learn to get along, that's what this should all be about. As I was saying, I'd like to thank all of our sponsors and our listeners. I'd like to make sure that everybody goes to our Facebook page. Remember, we're still running the contest on the Facebook page. That goes through the end of this month. So like us on Facebook and tell your friends to like us on Facebook. You can win yourself the stay at the Mayfair, the limo ride, the credit towards dinner. And remember this, it's Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us today, Thursday, every Thursday, 5 o'clock, 8:80 a.m. Remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way. The other person finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. Talk to you next week. But down at home they call me Slim. Yeah, I'm looking for the king of 42nd Street. He drive on a drop-top Cadillac. Last week he took all my money, and it may sound funny, but I come to get my money back. And everybody say, Jack, don't you know that you don't talk.